We have been entrusted with many good things in this life, and we are accountable for those things. For example, God has given us a physical body that we have. And Bible says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. So we have body and we need to take care of our physical body. We have children. God has given us children. Lo, the children are the heritage of the Lord, Bible says. So we need to raise them for God's glory. And also we have been given money. Bible says in Psalm chapter 50, verse 10 to 12, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So God possesses, he possesses everything. Everything belongs to the Lord. So God has given us money in this world. To some people he gives less, to others he gives more for some reason. But we are entrusted with money, and we need to be good stewards of the money. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. And it's the title is Give and Be Free. You can be free financially if you give for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel. He's going to meet your needs. Money is an idol. It's like a god in this world that many people are worshiping it. And that's why God is testing us through that substance. He wants to test us to see if we are trusting the Lord or our money. And statistics say that tithers only make up 10 to 25% of any congregation, any Catholicism or Lutheran or Baptist, 10 to 25%. I hope it's not the case with us tonight. And religious giving is down about 50% since 1990. 50% down. Imagine it's like half of the giving, it's been decreased. And it's of families that make $75,000 plus, only 1% gave their tithes to the Lord. According to 2015 Share Faith article, people with a salary of less than $20,000 are 8 times more likely to give than someone who makes over $75,000, which is just unbelievable. It should be other way around, because they have less than $20,000. And they have to give less because they have more needs. But $75,000 and more, they have more money, they should give more. I don't know why it's that way. But Jesus said, you know, it's hard for a rich person to enter into heaven. It's easier for a camel to enter into the needle's hole. So we're going to look at giving in the Bible. So I know it's not easy topic, and it's not easy for me to preach. It's not easy for audience to receive it. But the Lord gave me this message to preach. I was just preparing many messages for like Sunday morning and evening and so on. And I said, what else should I preach? What about for Wednesday? So I was just praying and thinking and meditating. And I've been to many missions conferences. And usually in missions conference, you know, they always preach about money and giving. I'm like, duh, how did I forget about that? I should preach about giving. So I'm like, here we go. I got a message from the Lord. He reminded me that I should preach about giving, because the missionaries who come here to present their missions, their work, they hear not only for your prayers, of course, but they need your money. And they have right to do that, because they have sacrificed everything. They've given away their jobs and everything, comfort and ease in this life, and they want to go to hard countries, the third world countries, many of them, and without working, they're going to serve the Lord, and they need support. They need money. It's not easy to serve the Lord without money. So I've been giving 120,000 New Testament, and we're trying to ship it to the Middle East to distribute among Persians there. It takes money to print 120,000 New Testament. So we need to support this gospel ministry so that more people would hear the gospel and be saved. So it takes money, if you're honest with yourself. So we're going to look at giving in the Bible prior to the law. So we look at Abraham. Abraham gave tithes to the Lord. He met Melchizedek in Genesis 14, verse 20. And it says, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So Melchizedek is telling Abraham that may God bless you. And then he, that's Abraham, gave tithes of all to Melchizedek. He understood that he is the priest of the Most High. And Hebrews tell us that less is blessed by greater. He understood that he represents God, this man, a high priest of the Most High, and he wanted to give money to show his love and obedience to the Lord. Jacob gave, he met the Lord and he said, indeed, God is here. He said, God, if you are with me, if you bless me, I'm going to give tithes of all. He said, I'm going to give my tithes. So that prior to the law, the law is not there yet. God hasn't given us any commandment, written commandment yet. And those people understood that giving to the Lord is a way of worship. And then during the law, there are three major passages in the law of Moses that deals with tithes and offerings, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we have the first one is Levitical tithe. Levitical tithe. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, it says, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tents in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. God didn't give Levites any inheritance in the land of Israel, no land for them, because God was their inheritance. But God allowed them to have tithes. Why? Why? Because they're going to live. They're going to need money. So God wanted to provide for their needs. So tithes usually took form of animals, land, seed, fruit, flowers, stuff like that, or shekels, money, in many different ways. And then, so the first one is Levitical, but the second one is festival tithe. The festival tithe in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. It says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithes of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. This is another tithe, which is they had to bring year by year, and they had to partake of that gifts that they bring, the offerings that they have to partake. It's like they were bringing this, whatever it was, wine and corn and oil, shekels. They were just having fellowship together. They were sharing. So this was like festival tithe. And then you have the poor tithe or welfare tithe. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 28 to 29, this was given to strangers and fatherless and orphans and so on. So it says, and at the end of 3 years, so this is not year by year, this is every 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithes of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates, and the Levites, because he has no part, no inheritance with thee, and the strangers and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. Like they can be full because they are needy, they are poor, they are fatherless and widows, that they would be filled, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So this is every 3 years. This is like 3%. So you have Levitical tithe, which is 10%, another festival tithe, which is another 10%, and then the poor tithe, which is 3.3%. So it's altogether is 23%. So for every like $100, you would give $23 to the Lord, to the ministry, which was a lot. Apart from the law, you come to historical books and prophetic books, and God gives a lot of commandments about tithes and offerings and so on. But in Malachi, which is another passage which is outstanding, and God is telling children of Israel that they are robbing God. They were not keeping the Sabbath, and they were turning their back on God and so on, but also they were not giving their tithes to the Lord, and they were robbing God, and because of that, he said, you are cursed. But he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your wine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. He gives three promises that if you bring tithes to my house, he said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to bless. Number two, he said, God will prevent the devourer. God is going to prevent that devourer that comes, takes away your money. We would have like fines and tickets you get in this world, or your car breaks down and you have to fix. And a lot of places, because if you don't give to the Lord at church, God is going to take that money from you, and you're going to give it to mechanic or other places. And then number three, the vines will not cast their fruit. They're not going to fall on the ground to decay. That means whatever you do, you're going to reap, and you're going to have it. You're going to be able to save. That's what he's promising, three things. So that's the law, during the law, but also we have After the law, again, we have so many passages that deals with giving and offerings, but Jesus, he met Pharisees and scribes, and he rebuked them for their hypocrisy. He didn't discourage them of giving of their tithes, but look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. It says, woe unto you, he is kind of rebuking scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So he's saying that the giving of tithes is like light things. It's small things. It's for kindergarten, for babies. That's very light. But weightier matters of the law is judgment, mercy. That's what you have to do. Faith. He's not discouraging them. He doesn't say you should not give tithes, but he's like, that's small things if you do it. So giving tithes and offerings in the New Testament is very meaningful than the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had to. If they didn't, they were getting punished and judged and by God. But in the New Testament, God has given us the Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding. He gives us illumination and lights why we should give. We know that the world is dark, and they need the light of Jesus Christ, and it's going to take money to get the light to them. So the Holy Spirit tells us why. He convicts us. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to be rejoicing to give more. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 to 12, we read, now therefore perform the doing of it. Apostle Paul is encouraging these believers, perform the doing of it. Give, perform it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. And so on. So we're going to draw some applications from giving. Number one, give to the Lord. Give your tithes to the Lord. Because we have in the Old Testament, before the law, during the law, and after the law, so we need to obey that commandment as well. Just like Great Commission, we have to obey to give to the Lord as well. Give to the Lord. Levites and priests, they were ministering in the temple, so God took care of their needs, financial needs, through tithes and offerings. So also we have in the New Testament, we have pastors and those who teach the Bible. God wants to take care of them. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." So God is asking us to double honor those who minister the word of God to others. So this double in Greek is dipoulos. D means two, and then poulos is the word that we get plus from this Greek. That means two. Poulos means multiplied by. So this double means multiplied by two. What do you multiply by two? Honor. That word honor in Greek is timis. That's honor, yeah, but value, price. That's not referring that when you say double honor your elder, your pastor, it doesn't say hello, like twice. greetings, pastor. He doesn't say that. In the context, it says, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward, his wages. So he's saying that your pastor needs to get double wages. Like imagine, whatever average people make in this country, you have to give them double wage. Why? Because God knows that pastors, they travel a lot. They minister a lot. And a lot of people work double shift, and their wives don't work usually. So his wife needs support as well. And so they have high expenses. So God wants to take care of pastors so they don't have to worry about money, that they would focus on prayer and preaching. So honor, that means give, double. Like in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." So I'm going to mention this book, Leadership Not by the Book. This is David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby. David Green, he borrowed $600 from the bank in 1970, and he started his own business making picture frames in a garage. And the first year, he made $137. That was his income. And he is now CEO of Hobby Lobby, which employs 50,000 people at 1,001 stores in 48 states and grosses $8 billion a year. But how did he grow financially, especially during pandemic and so on? He had a secret sauce for his success. It says in his book, God-centered practices. Whatever business he's making, whatever he wants to glorify God. I recommend this book to you to read it. It's going to help you in many ways to be a good steward of money, and also not just money, but in many ways. People-focused practices. People-focused, that means they care for souls. So they give money to solvents, to missionaries, to preach the gospel. And they have led so many people to the Lord throughout their ministry, like in their stores and so on. So they believe in soul winning as well. People-focused practices and common sense practices is the third one. That's three secret sauce that he has. So his parents and siblings, they were all serving the Lord in certain ministries at church, and he was the only one not doing anything for the Lord. He was like black sheep in his home. And he said that he was kind of feeling that he's going astray and wandering off in the wasteland of business. He thought that he's not doing anything for the Lord. But on airplane, he was in a missions conference once, and he was flying back home. He heard a voice of the Holy Spirit talking to him. During this missions conference, a missionary presented his work of Bible project, like printing thousands of Bibles to distribute in Africa, and the need was $30,000. And Holy Spirit told him to give $30,000. He was sitting next to an elder woman, and clearly, but he said, how can I give $30,000? That's a lot of money. I don't have that much money. So he went, and then another thought came into his mind. He said, what about if I give $7,500 for installments? So he spoke to his wife, and they prayed, and they gave $7,500 in four installments. And the people there in Africa, they received it. They were able to print Bibles and distribute. And he realized that, Mr. Green realized that God has called him to serve him through his business. So he's not black sheep in his home. So in 1980, after like decade, 10 years later, he grew to seven stores with $18 million income. And he overextended the company. But after growing so much and so on, he bought inventory on credit. He borrowed a lot of money from bank, and he thought that money would keep rolling in. And then oil bust hit, the economy tanked, and the bank threatened to foreclose on him. And he got in trouble. He was losing money. He didn't have enough merchandise, and he was losing money all the time. He tried to fix it, and nothing worked. He was losing money every time. And he went to his office under his desk. He was praying, and he heard that God was telling him, if you are so big, I'm going to let you have it by yourself. He realized that he had become so proud by assuming that he knows the future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next year. So he was borrowing money from bank. I never liked borrow money from bank. Back in Australia, when I got saved, I wanted to serve the Lord. But I wanted to buy a house and start a family. So I was praying for a wife and family, having big family, many children. I love to have big children, many children, not big children. I don't have big children yet, but you never know. The food that they eat in America, it makes you big. That's horrible. Sorry about that. My wife said when I came to America, and my wife asked me, she said, what is the difference between Australia and in America? I said, well, I noticed that over here, like I get like coffee cups are so big. Over there in Australia, coffee is like that big. So, but over here, coffee cup is so big. Coca-Cola, you drink like soda, the cups are so big. And the roads are big. The cars that like one of those trucks, and it's so big. Everything is big and people are big. And she laughed. So I never liked to borrow anything. When I got saved, I wanted to buy a house. I was saving money, but I didn't want to borrow from bank, because I knew that I surrendered to serve him, serve the Lord. But I knew if I borrow money from bank, I'm not going to be able to serve the Lord effectively, because I need to serve bank. You know, borrower is slave of his master. So I don't want to be slave to bank. I want to serve the Lord. So I never liked the idea of borrowing money from bank. I said, if the Lord wants to provide a house for me, he will provide in his own timing. So, but he was borrowing. He thought that he knows everything. And God removed his blessings from his life, and his ministry was, his business was going down, but he humbled himself. He confessed his sins to God, and he humbled, and God started to blessing him again. By the late 1990s, his company grew to over 200 stores with approaching $1 billion in year sales. Then Mr. Green started thinking about inheritance and succession, and that troubled him. He's like 200 stores. So much money, who's gonna be my successor, the inheritance, my children? And he couldn't sleep at night. He was troubled, and he went to the Word of God to see what God has to say, and he realized that he has heard that, you know, we are stewards of the money and everything, but he didn't put it in practice. He realized that he has to give it to the Lord. And he did it and he was free. He realized that, okay, God owns the company, not me. And he was free after that. He's been able to sleep since then. John Wesley, his house was burned to the ground. And somebody came, he said, hey, John, your house is burned down to the ground. He said, no, it's not John's house. It's God's house burned down to the ground. So that means less responsibility for me. When I got saved, before that, 3 years, I was in Australia for 3 years. And as a Muslim, and I was working 2 shifts a day and 7 days a week. Just like for 3 years, I worked on Sunday to 7 days a week, 2 shifts, no day off at all, 3 years. And I was making good money back in Australia. And I bought 3 apartments back in Iran. I thought that after 3 years, I'm going back to Iran now so I can start a business and so I can have enough money to be free and so on. So I was working hard, tried to get all the dollars and take them with me to back to Iran. So I got saved and I surrendered to serve the Lord. And I had a business. I was having this construction business was back in Iran. But I had like transportation. I bought one truck. And I was delivering groceries to homes and bread to stores and so on. And after 1 year, my business was growing. So I bought 2 more trucks. So I have 3 trucks and 4 or 5 drivers working for me. So I was making good money per week. And then I got saved and I surrendered to serve the Lord. But I'm like, I'm super busy. I don't have any time to serve the Lord. How can I serve the Lord? And I just struggled. I'm like, what should I do? And after about a year, I knew that the Lord was calling me to Bible college to go and to be trained to preach the gospel. And one day, one of my truck went out of business. So I was looking for another contract with another company. After a week, I lost the contract with the other company. The other 2 trucks went out of business as well, all 3 trucks. I'm like, sounds like God is speaking to me. Sounds like God wants me to give up the business, to serve God alone, not God plus mammon. So I did it by faith. I said, Lord, okay, I surrender. I'm going to close down the company, and I'm going to go to Bible college by faith. So I closed down my company and I sold the trucks, which was amazing. Like within a week, I was able to sell all 3 trucks, which is just unusual. I was able to sell all 3 of them and went to Bible college. And for 2 years, I didn't have any job. I wasn't working because it was hard to study at Bible college, everything in English. For the first time, I'm reading everything, studying everything in English. My English was broken. So it was hard. I had to study a lot. I was praying. I said, Lord, would you help me to be able to go through this college, to be able to learn? And the Lord blessed that I was listening to a lot of sermons and reading the King James Bible all the time and reading those books. And the Lord started helping me to finish the college there. So I started, after 2 years, the Lord helped me to find a part-time job as a bus driver, driving passenger bus, big buses that we have at church. And so the Lord was providing my needs after 2 years. He was good to me. So just a little bit of testimony. But after a year, while I was at college, I didn't know anything about tithes and offerings. I read about it in the Bible, but I wasn't practicing it because it wasn't easy. But when I saw my friend at college, he was giving his tithes. I learned that, man, Christians give their tithes. And it was a challenge. I'm like, I have 3 properties back in Iran. I haven't given any tithes of those. What am I going to do if I give? And the Lord convicted me, I have to give tithes of those. So I calculated, see how much money that would be to give to church. So all the 3 apartments, the money that I paid for those apartments, so I realized that it was like thousands of dollars. So I put it in an envelope, I put it on the plate, in our church, and I'm sure that they were shocked. To this day, they don't know where that money came from, those thousands of dollars in a kind of smaller church. But I did it by faith, and I'm so glad that I did. I wanted to be free. I don't want to owe anything to God. I wanted to, like, all the money, whatever I have, I wanted to give my tithes to the Lord to please Him that way. So give to the Lord. And then, number two, give to the poor. In the book of Acts, we read that all believers had everything in common. They were helping each other out. Nobody was needy. They wanted to help each other, to meet each other's needs. And we have deacons offering here, and we try to help widows and those who are needy. And that's something that pleases God. I mentioned about Dunya, the 7-year-old girl who was in Tajikistan. Brother Tim Smith helped her to come to America. He paid for their visa, her parents, and I think they had one translator who traveled with them. So he paid for their tickets and visa fees and everything. It's so costly, but he helped this family to come to America. So they had first surgery, but they're going to have another surgery in a few weeks. So he's helping these poor. These Afghanis are very poor. As I mentioned, her parents were not able to provide for their daughter's need to take her to hospital to have surgery. They were not able to, but this American helped. And when I go to Turkey and other countries like Tajikistan, I see a lot of believers there. They are in terrible poverty, and most of them, they tell me how they feel and how they're in such what situation they are in. And I've been giving money every time I go, like at least 4 or 5 people, because it breaks my heart. I have money and they don't have anything. I want to help them because I don't own any money, because it belongs to the Lord. I want to give, be good steward, to give to the poor. So give to the poor, but also give to the faith promised. Faith promise. In Genesis chapter 6, the earth was full of violence, and God, He repented of His creation and everything, and He wanted to destroy everything. He was mad at creation, at people, how they were so wicked. But then it comes to Genesis chapter 9, after destruction and everything, God make a covenant with Noah. And He has the token of the covenant rainbow. He promises not to destroy the earth with the flood anymore. What happened between Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis 9? What happened that changed God's mind? Well, in Genesis chapter 8, it tells us what happened that changed God's mind. Chapter 8 of Genesis, verse 20 to 21, it says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done." What was it that changed God's mind? Noah, he saw that after destruction, they came off the ark, and Noah, he worshipped the Lord. He offered offerings on the altar to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. That's God's way of worship. As I mentioned on Monday, he had to bring lamb, and he realized that this Noah is listening to me. He's obeying. He's worshipping me in a right way. He's pleasing me, and his worship was a sweet savor. He smelled it. He's like, this is so sweet, nice smell. And we have same terminology in New Testament, in the book of Philippians. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 18, we read, Apostle Paul is speaking, "Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus. Let me see if I can pronounce it. The things which were sent from you, the money that you sent through him, it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, the money that you gave to me as a missionary, he was preaching the gospel. He said, you gave money to the missions. That money that you've given to the missions is sweet odor of a sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable before God, well-pleasing to God. It's like same as Noah. Noah worshipped God, and God was well-pleased. It was like sweet savor, but also giving to the missions, the same thing. It's like worshiping God. And God is so pleased with that. And he promises in the same context that if you give to the missions, what's going to happen? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He promises that if you give to the missions, God is going to meet your needs. You're not going to have needs in your life. So during COVID lockdown, the mission-minded churches who continued supporting missionaries did fine. In fact, they were thrived more financially. We've been traveling a lot. I did deputation through COVID lockdown, and many of churches were saying, they were saying, God has blessed us financially. We'll take you on for support. And I'm like, why is this happening? Many of these Baptist churches, they were thriving financially. God sifted churches, and people were more committed to the Lord financially. They were giving more. So statistic again says that 8 out of 10 people who give to churches have 0 credit card debit. Again, we continue from David Green. He gives his 50% of his profit to the gospel ministries. He supports Bible Museum and Bible distribution and missionaries. And so they support a lot of missionaries. I want to ask him to support me too for Bible. I haven't done it, but it came to my mind. I'm like, that would be nice to ask him. You never know. He might give me $1 million. No. During pandemic in 2020, Hobby Lobby shut down all other stores and for a few months. But in May and June, some states started to open up, and they also opened up some of the stores, Hobby Lobby stores. And by July, sales had jumped back to the same level they had reached the year before. August, September, and October each month surpassed their sales from the year before. Since their supply chain remained as backup as ever, Mr. Green wondered what their store even had to sell. How is that possible? We have so much sale. We don't even have enough goods in our stores. When the Christmas season came, just a few months later, he says, we had only 60% of our inventory, and yet sales kept rising. What are our customers buying? We wondered. When inventory goes down, sales should too. But we didn't. Our sales soared higher than ever. Incredibly, 2020 turned into the highest sales year Hobby Lobby had ever seen. We ended up that year with 50% greater growth than the year before. I believe that's because of missions. They support missions. That's why God is blessing them. In early 2021, I gathered my staff and reported the remarkable sales we had experienced the year before. We celebrated, but I also explained that although we sold the same merchandise as our competitors, we alone had seen growth in sales. How could that happen? All other stores that doing same thing, selling same thing, they all went down their sales. The Hobby Lobby was the only store thriving, growing even more. I believe it happened because God answered our prayers, he says, by his grace. We deserve no credit for this. Our smarts didn't earn it. God alone deserved all the glory for his remarkable blessing. Back in Australia, I started giving tithes, and I hardly listened to preaching about giving and tithes and missions especially. So I never gave to missions. We don't have mission board there in Australia, so I didn't have any concept of faith promise. When I came to here, to Falls Baptist Church, I heard about faith promise and everything. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have part in that too. I'm going to start giving to faith promise by faith. So I started giving it and bit by bit and like certain amount first time, but every year I've been trying to increase more. We had twins born. Our twins were born over 2 years ago. And when I started my deputation, when I started my deputation, I didn't have any car to drive for my deputation. I'm like, what am I going to do? So one church who took us on for support, the pastor asked me what is my personal need? What do I need? I said, well, at the moment I'm doing deputation, but I don't have any vehicle to drive, you know, to raise supports. So they gave $7,000 and I was able to buy SUV Ford, and it was just a blessing. I believe that because I gave to the mission and the Lord provided a car for me. And now after two years later, we had twins born, and I'm like, first things I'm thinking, we can't put three. All of them are like a year and a half and under, three babies. That means they need three car seats, and you can't put three car seats in one row. That means we need minivan. I'm like, wow. If I sell this car, I might be able to sell it for $5,000. That means I need at least another $5,000 to be able to buy an old minivan for our kids, growing family. So I was praying about it. We prayed, my wife and I prayed about it, and the Lord again blessed us, and somebody who is not a rich person at all, just average employee, and he gave, we were able to sell the SUV Ford, and he paid the difference to buy a Honda Odyssey 2018. I'm like, I was just praising the Lord for his goodness. He knows what we need. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Bible says. He blessed us. I'm like, I was just in awe that God provided again for my need. Give to the faith promise, but lastly, give more. Give more. Acts 20, verse 35, it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. David Green again, he says, Barbara and I always tied our personal earnings early on. We gave corporately through Hobby Lobby. But once we committed to giving some scary amounts beyond what we thought we could afford, that's when the company really started kicking off. God has blessed Hobby Lobby immensely, which we know is tied to our giving. Still, the Bible doesn't promise us more business success if we give more. At Hobby Lobby, we don't give more so we can get more. We give more so we can give more. We have come to experience the truth of Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm so glad for this man who puts the Bible in practice, and he believes God, that God, if you support the work of God and the ministry, God is going to bless you. He believes that you have to give more because God has given you more, and you have to bless the ministry as well. In 2019, as we started this sacrifice offering in November, I believe it was, Pastor Van mentioned the need that we're going to renovate the auditorium and everything, the pews and everything. And immediately my wife and I, you know, we thought about giving. How much should I give? In my mind, I'm like, I have $2,100 in my saving account, so I'm going to give $2,000 by faith because I have to sacrifice. This is sacrifice offering. I have to sacrifice. So I'm going to give $2,000. So that was my idea. So the day that they were taking the offerings, Pastor David Zempel came, and he encouraged us to give. And he said, give more. He said, give more. That stood out. I'm like, I already promised to give $2,000. Should I give more? Just before that, just a few days before that, we went to Baptist World Mission annual meetings in Indianapolis. And we stayed in somebody's home. And it happened like we had argue. I had argued with him because he happened to be a Calvinist. So I rebuked him for being heretic. And I said, our God is not a racist God to send somebody to hell and then save somebody from hell. That's not our God. He loves all people. He is not willing that any should perish. And so he was offended a little bit. And his pastor spoke to me the next day. And so it wasn't easy for me. But he provided us beautiful home in the basement. We stayed, a big, massive room. He was a doctor, general practitioner, and very generous, very good man, but he was heretic. Anyway, so as we were leaving, the pastor told me, that I have to be a little bit kind, gentle. And I said, sure, I'll be gentle to him next time if he invites me back. So he said he has given you a love offering. I'm like, wow, interesting. So he gave me a check, and it was $3,000. I'm like, what? It made me cry. $3,000. This man who was arguing with me, he was like my enemy. I'm like, I came back, so I already promised to the Lord to give $2,000. And I'm sitting there, and Pastor Zempel is saying, give more. I'm like, God told me, like, give that $3,000. I'm like, okay. Maybe that's why. I'm like, why is he giving me $3,000? I didn't do anything. He's giving me $3,000. Maybe God wanted to provide, because I made a promise to give $2,000 to the Lord, but God already provided even above that, because God is leading me to give more through Pastor Zempel. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give that check by faith. I think God had planned for that. So we came out and going back home, driving in the car, and I told my wife, I said, so what do you think, how much should we give to the Lord for this sacrifice offering? And she said, I think the Lord kind of was speaking to my heart, and I think we should give that check to that sacrifice offering, that $3,000. I'm like, that's amazing. It's not just a check, just giving, but the Lord leads you and guides you. He speaks to you, and he speaks to your wife, and it's just amazing. It's just adorable that God speaks to me. I was just praising God. It made me cry again. So I'm like, we were just rejoicing to give that money that God gave us. We were just trying to be good stewards, and we gave it to the Lord. And we're rejoicing now, that beautiful auditorium that we have. We have part in this. And we not just like earthly reward, but God is going to reward you for giving for the cause of Christ. Then another illustration, another story. Before I close, we wanted to go to Turkey last year to plant the church, and because these twins were born, we received this letter from Kando Association, and they told us. They said, "Well, congratulations on the birth of your twins and everything." I'm like, "Wow, what a nice people here." However, we have a bylaw that only family of four people are allowed to live here. So you need to start looking for a new place. I'm like, what? And you have, by April 30, you have to move out. And we were supposed to be in Turkey between February till May. We're going to be in Turkey by that time. So I went to the Kando Association office and I spoke to them. They gave us another 2 months. So by June 30, we had to move out, sell Kando and buy another place. And I'm like, we were just worried, but we prayed. After coming back from Turkey, and we had just a month and a half. And so what are we going to do? My wife was worried, and her dad and everything, and we were praying. So I took my wife, I invited my wife's parents and her grandparents as well to Original Pancake House, to have a nice breakfast, nice pancakes and bacon and eggs and so on. And so we sat there, and I said, Emily, I have a gift for you. And she's like, What are you talking about? And I gave her a paper. I said, this is a gift for you. And she's looking at it. She's like, what is this? I'm like, well, that's my saving account. And she's like, what? I'm like, look at that total amount. Like 200,000. She's like, what's that? I'm like, that's in my saving account. She's like, 200,000. Did you rob the bank? I'm like, no. Everybody's like her mom and everybody's like, 200,000, where was it? I'm like, I don't know. I was doing my deputation and studying in seminary and paying for college and all the expenses that I had. And I'm doing deputation and so on. And I'm looking at my saving. It's just going up and going up. I don't know what's happening. My saving was just going up. In 3 years, I was able to save $200,000. It wasn't me. I don't know how that happened, but that happened. And they were shocked. I don't think any missionary on deputation can raise, and doing seminary at the same time, paying for college, tuition and everything, can save $200,000. It's not common. Maybe it is. Have you been able to? Those missionaries, deputation. How much money have you made? I don't know. But I don't think it's common. And I believe that because of giving our tithes and giving to the missions, and Philippians 4:19, it promises that if you give to the missions faithfully, God will meet your needs. He knew that we need. I prayed, I said, Lord, would you provide us a house? We know that in the condo, my son, Gabriel, he was growing. He was getting, like, you know, big boy now. He wants to go out and play, but in the condo, he wasn't able to go out. It was getting smaller for us, two-bedroom condo. It was very small, and poor guy, I knew that the Lord has to do something. So I prayed. I said, Lord, if you provide us house, would you provide a house that would have little bit backyard so that they can go to the backyard and play, and also a basement so we can turn it into studio to preach the gospel and train preachers from there. So we looked for 2 weeks, and so we realized that it was hot property market. A year and a half ago, it wasn't easy. And we never wanted to, having three little kids, we didn't want to buy old house and cheap house to be filthy and old, and because we care for their health. And my wife also, she wants nice home, and I like nice home too. So, but it was hard. With the money that we had, it's good amount of money, but it's not enough to buy a nice house. So we saw this. We were looking for a house like in Milwaukee area mainly because we didn't have enough budget. But then we prayed and fasted together. We fasted and prayed. We needed miracle, and the Lord did it. Next day we went to see this house, which we didn't want to see because online it was like dark. The rooms were dark and it wasn't attractive, but we just wanted to just go and see it, just to learn the experience, you know. And so we went to see this house, and we walked in, and my wife is looking. I'm like, wow. And I'm looking at doors and everything, wow. And my wife, wow. And we go to the kitchen, wow. And both of us, we just loved the house, and it was very attractive. And we made an offer to the owner. We wrote a love letter with our family a picture, and we said that, you know, the Lord is providing us. He wants to, they're kicking us out of condo, but we believe that the Lord wants to provide us a bigger home. So we made like emotional appeal to them, and they accepted our offer. We made like low offer in that hot property market. You had like so many people making an offer. They accepted our offer. And then we had inspection that septic system failed, and they gave us $35,000 credits toward that. And then we had grading issues, and so they gave us another $15,000. So they reduced the price by $50,000. So we were able to buy that house miraculously. And at the same time, our kitchen didn't have anything, no stoves and no laundry, no dryer, no washing machine and everything. So one church gave us $15,000 to buy appliances. So we bought everything like new. In the kitchen, we have everything new, laundry. And the Lord, her grandma brought two checks, each one $8,000. She said, I've been saving for you, Emily, since you were born. And like I had bonds or something. So here is, I think you probably need this money now. I'm like, yes. The Lord just, it just amazingly reduced the price of a house, and he brought money from different places. Miraculously, he provided that house that has, you know, a little bit bigger backyard, which is almost 3 acres land house. It's not like luxury house. It's a decent house in a decent, beautiful, quiet place. The Lord has been good to us. You know why? Because he promises that if you give to the mission, he's going to provide your needs. He knows what you need, and he's going to meet your needs. He doesn't promise to make you very rich and having luxury things, but he knows that if you need whatever you need, he's going to meet that need. So I don't know what needs do you have. I meet a lot of Persians. They call me and they say, can you help me, you know, some money? I can't pay my rent this month from Turkey. And I realized that many of them are struggling financially. And I asked them, do you pay tithes to the Lord? Do you pay to the faith promise, to the missions? And many of them say, no. I'm like, you need to start giving to the Lord by faith. And if you do that, you're going to be financially free. So give and be free. God is going to free you financially if you do. He did it to me. He's done it to so many people. And he promises that if you do that, my God shall supply all your needs. That is promise. He doesn't tell lies.